Good to see you all. Thank you for being here. Let's look, see what God has for us this morning. Take your Bibles, open up Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to talk to you. Hopefully I'll go quickly as I can with this. But we're right on time. Everything is right on time. I'm proud of that. And I want to talk to you about mothers. This message is called A Mother's Heart. Mothers have a heart like no one else.
Amen.
Mothers are like no one else.
Amen.
And I know my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? Thanks for telling me. I didn't want to hear that. Don't tell me bad news when I'm up here ready to preach. Please save it for afterwards, because now my mind will be on it. Our dear friend Saf is in the hospital, which is not good. It's not good. Now it's all I can think of. And Michael and Kristen, I'm like, thanks a lot. Don't do that to me. And I'm trying to focus. But I want to thank our we have a couple visitors with us, Aaron and Sharon. You want to introduce your friends? Welcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Hopefully, God willing, next week, sometime we'll be going out to dinner with Aaron and Sharon. We were supposed to go Friday, and I was working here, and my wife was at a women's retreat, and she had a wonderful time, and I think that we ought to do a little more of that, ladies, and get away with a bunch of women and pray and have fun and enjoy yourselves. Amen. But in Genesis chapter 3, if you're all there, please say amen.
Amen.
Starting in verse 8, I'd like to read down to verse 20, and let's see what we can get from the Lord this morning. It says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." There's a lot to be said right there. I can preach messages right out of that. But I want you to listen to what it said. They heard the Lord God's voice walking in the garden, and they hid themselves. Verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? Where are you?" You know, there's many times I know it to be true, that God is calling your name. God wants to spend some time with you, especially in the morning, but it can be in the evening. But he wants to spend time directly with you. You know that song, "In the Garden, I Come to the Garden Alone, While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God, he discloses, where are you?" And he wants to know where you are. He's there. He's never too busy for you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That God's never too busy for you? Come on, I want to hear you. He's never, never too busy for you. Why are we so busy for him? Why can't we just set aside 15, 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes for the Lord in the morning? Why can't we do that? Just for him. I want you to think about that. Think long and hard, because each and every one of us could do it. You know you set time for your phone. You know you set time for whatever it is you do. Let's make time for the Lord. Can we do that? Because he's asking the same question. Where are you? And I'm glad that you're here in the house of God today. It goes on and he says in verse 10, "Then he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." You might be staying away from God because you're afraid. You might be staying away from God because you feel ashamed about something in your life. You know, sin will keep you away from God.
Amen.
Sin will keep you from this book. But this book will also keep you from sin. And sin will keep you away from God, but God will also keep you away from sin. So it's a vicious cycle. But what he's telling us here is that he felt guilty. And because he had guilt, he didn't want to be around God at the time. But the greatest thing to know is that God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son.
Amen.
For what reason? To bring us to God. So that we can at any time, at any moment, bow our heads and know that we have a high priest in heaven who always hears us, who's never too busy for us. He's never ever too tired. He's never ever not there. He's faithful, high priest. And at any moment, at any time, you can always come to him and talk to him and confess your sins to him. And he said the blood of Jesus, the blood that he shed, will cleanse you, will wash you from all sin.
Amen.
Isn't that great? And then you can take away that shame and you can spend time with God. And look what it says. We'll go on. And he said in verse 11, "God said, Who told you that you're naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shalt not eat? And the man said, The woman who you gave to me, that gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and did eat." Well, you see right there, passing the buck. The woman's fault. Man, it's not the woman's fault. I'll show you who the real fault is. Keep reading. It says in verse 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. I want you to see Eve. It's called the Eve because she's the mother of all of us. She's the mother of all living. But here she didn't have a mother at this time and she didn't have a father. But she did have God. And she did have the greatest, closest relationship known to man in the history of human beings at this time in the garden. She did have everything she needed, but there's something there in the garden, something there in her mind, something there that's always been there from the beginning, and it's with you mothers today. And look what it says in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then this beautiful, amazing beast called a serpent walked uprightly, had legs. Amazing, amazing animal that we don't know what it looked like. Immediately, it was cursed into a snake. And that was the curse of this beautiful animal. Now it's a snake. Verse 15, and I will put enmity. This is what I want you to see for this message today. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the devil and the woman. I'm going to put enmity. Enmity means a fixed or rooted hatred. I'm going to deep-rooted hatred between the devil and the woman. Women, you ever feel like you've been your whole life just attacked in your brain, in your mind, in your spirit? Always under attack, always under attack. Now, you know how the devil gets you under attack? He lies to you. He doesn't come and beat you and bite you and haunt you at night. That's movies. He just speaks lies to you. It makes you worry. Makes you worry. Makes you nervous. Makes you stressed out. Now, I know that probably doesn't apply to any woman in here. But if you're a woman here today and you want to know why you're always stressed, why you're always worried, because you have an enemy that hates your guts. Look what it says. He says in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, the devil's seed and the woman's seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the first prophecy of the gospel. This was the first gospel being spoken by God himself in Genesis chapter 3:15, that out of the woman's seed a man would come, and he would destroy and crush the head of Satan. And Satan knew that, and from that beginning of that moment right there, he did nothing but try to stop this from happening. And God goes on and says, unto the woman, verse 16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Women are the most unhappy people on earth. They don't show it. They have it with them. They carry it around. They're always worrying, always stressed, always looking where can they find happiness? Where can they find joy? And they're always searching, and maybe they'll find it in beauty, or maybe they'll find it in entertainment, or maybe they'll find it in a man. Maybe they'll find it. And the truth of the matter is, ladies, is that you are under attack all the time. The devil attacked you in the garden, and the devil and God put enmity between the devil and you. And not just you, but against your seed and his seed. And you wonder why you have problems. It's because of the devil. You wonder why you're down or depressed most of the time. It's because of Satan. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with your life. It has nothing to do with your children even, or your husband, or your money. It has all to do with the lies that's being told you. And what we need for each and every man in this place to pray for our wives. Pray for our mothers. Pray for our daughters. And each and every woman out there needs man's protection and prayer. For God gave Eve Adam, but mostly he gave Adam Eve. And Adam was nowhere around when the devil lied to her and deceived her. He should have been there by his wife's side. He should have protected her from Satan. And that's a man's job, is to protect his wife, protect his daughters, protect his family. That's a man's job. And Adam wasn't around. He didn't do his job very well. Because he didn't do his job, look what happens. It says in verse 16, I want you to pay attention to this, mothers. It says, and unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children. and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He's saying that every woman wants to be in charge. Every woman wants to be the boss. Every woman has a desire to not be ruled over. It's just a way of life. And it all started back here. And God goes on and he says in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Adam and Eve, like I said, they had no mother. They didn't have, the reason I'm saying this is because each and every one of us have a mother. Whether you knew her or not, you had one. But for those of us that knew our mothers, it was my mom that always told me, you better be good. It was always my mom said, brush your teeth. It was always my mom said, put on your mittens, put on your gloves, put your socks on, get your clean underwear on. You know, it was always my mom. My dad could care. Well, I didn't have a dad. I had a stepdad, but he didn't care about me at all. Honestly, all he did was yell at me. But even if I had a dad, dad wouldn't care. It's the mother cares. Amen? That's what I'm getting at. The mother cares about you, cares about where you're going. Where are you going? How long are you going to be? When are you coming back? What's your parents' name? What's the address? Where are you going? Worry, 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 worry. That's all women do. Men are like, hey, your son's out there climbing a tree. That's all right. Hey, he's out there playing with matches. I'll smack him upside his head. The mother's like worried all the time of their children. Am I right or am I right? And even when they get up, grown, out of the house, you just stop worrying. No, you don't. In sorrow, you will bear children. But thank God for those mothers that pray for us. Amen, Ed? I didn't hear you say amen. You told me that all week. See, you got to say amen. I'm calling you out and I'm talking about you now. I would have just went right over it, but you sit there like this when I'm talking about you. You got to at least say amen. Ed told me 10 times this week that the only reason he's here in church today is because his mother prayed for him. So he told me. My mother prayed for me. I'm here to tell you, mothers, thank God for mothers. Amen. Thank God that they're here to pray for us. Amen. Why did my voice just get weird, Brian? All of a sudden, the voice it just went up.
Switch mics.
You switched them?
Yeah.
Okay, well, can you turn it down a little bit? It's echoing in my ear. Adam and Eve had no mother, but they sure could have used one. Amen. Enmity was given between the devil and the woman. It's a fixed rooted hatred, and it is always after the woman. The devil's always after the woman. The mother is attacked with worry and with stress, with fear and with tears. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
I have a wife. I have a mother. I know. She's always worried about something. And I'm like, hun, stop worrying. I don't know why she just doesn't listen. It's easy, right? Cheryl, just stop worrying. Forget about it. Truth of the matter is there is a real powerful enemy that's after the mothers. And you know how he does? He lies to them. It's not going to work. He's going to have cancer. That's what she's thinking. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking God. I'm thinking good things. You know what else the devil thinking? You're gonna get cancer. You're gonna die. You're gonna this. You're gonna be sick. You're gonna be that. Every time, and I'm talking to all mothers because I found out, and Phil, you can tell me because you got one. They worry about everything. Just ours, just me and yours. That's it. Women, you worry about everything. Two people. Can I find a woman in this place that doesn't worry about everything? Because I just would like to sit down and talk with you for a while. Because God bless you. Why do women worry so much? Why do they stress so much? Because you have an enemy. A devil hates you.
I hate that.
I know. And he hates you. And he's always after you. You know why? Because you're ready. Yo, Sean, you're going to have a bad day tomorrow. At work, it's going to be bad. He don't care. He's like, every day's bad. He's like, yeah, so? Hey, Joe, tomorrow's going to be a tough one. Yeah, every day's a tough one. See, guys are like, yeah, big deal. So, sir, don't you know? You know, someone just lost a leg. Oh, man, it's terrible. What's the Philly score?
Yeah, that's it.
It's the truth. Hey, you know, someone lost their dog died. Oh, man, it's a shame. I remember my dog died. What's for lunch, sweetheart? Isn't it true, Anton? Except for when you got your own business. Then it's like, oh, no. My point is, women are under attack all the time. And what are us men doing about it? Are you praying for your wife constantly? Are you praying for your grandma constantly? Connor, are you praying for your sister? She needs it. See, you have not a care in the world, Connor. None. That girl cares about everything. She's stressed out and she's 16. Stressed out about everything. And she's a girl, a teenager. And as an adult, and we talked about this the other day, she always says, what are you worried? She says what I say to her is, what are you worried about? You got nothing to worry about, remember? And that's the way people think. And as a man, we're like, what are you worried about? Oh, stop. It's no big deal. Don't we say that to them? It's no big deal. Right, Bob? Come on. Is someone with me? Or am I talking to myself? The truth of the matter is our women are under attack 24-7 by the devil himself. And the men are complaining. It's the woman's fault. I'll tell you right now, it's not the woman's fault. It's the devil's fault. Right. Every bad thing that's ever happened in your life, it's not whose fault, it's the devil's fault. It's real, he's real, but my God is real. Amen. And my prayers are real. Amen. And my power that God, and the authority that God has given unto me to protect my wife and my daughters and my family and my church. He said, Michael, you pray a hedge of protection about them and no power on earth can touch them. But you husbands don't pray. You don't care enough about your wives to pray every day. Not once, not twice, all the time. Because I know the devil's after my wife. And he's after your wife. And most importantly, is mothers. Because mothers have a lot of sorrow. You know, I was thinking about the mothers in the Bible. And of course, there's a lot, but I'm only going to talk about many. We got Eve. When she had children, her firstborn son killed her other son. Wow, that's pretty sad. Yeah, she had some sorrow, all right. You think about Mrs. Noah. God didn't even give her a name. Just Mrs. Noah. Poor lady. Had to, you know, I mean, this poor lady, what she had to go through. You're going to build what? I'm hungry. Can you go out and plant some corn? We're hungry. No, sorry, I got to build a boat. What? And then she had to watch the end of the world. And then she had to watch her children go out and populate. I mean, God bless Mrs. Noah. I can't wait to meet her up there. I'm going to talk with her. And I think about Mrs. Job. You know Mrs. Job, right? They don't even give her a first name, just his wife. Poor Job went through a lot. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Job went through a lot, didn't he?
Amen.
His wife went through more.
Amen.
That was her children that got murdered. 10 of her children murdered in one day. But everyone blames her. When she finally can't take anymore, when all their money's gone and all their wealth is gone and all their children are gone. Her husband's full of boils from head to toe. They have no friends. People are calling them names. Finally, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? And everybody blames her. God bless mothers. God bless the wives. But I also thinking about some other mothers like Rebecca and Rachel. Amen. You know, when you think of Sarah, I think of she was the mother of Isaac, and he wasn't even born to her. She was 90 years old. And he was the first child of a promise. Amen? And she raised her right. I think of Jochebed. Most people don't even know who Jochebed is. Anyone know who Jochebed is? You know who Jochebed is? Who's Jochebed?
Moses' mother.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. Amen. Jochebed was Moses' mom, and she was happened to be born in a time... In a time where the Pharaoh said that all the firstborn sons of Egypt shall be thrown in the river and killed. Stabbed, killed, thrown in the river. And she saw Moses born. And as a mother, you look at that child. Please pay attention. As you look at that newborn child as a mother. And you look in that eyes. Could you imagine throwing him over the river? Not a chance. Well, she didn't. She hid him in a basket in a little ark and she floated him out and God took care of him. And we have the man Moses today because of what a great mother she was. You know, I can't even think of Samuel's mom. Her name was Hannah. And Hannah was wanted to have a baby. She wanted to be a mother really bad. And so she was in the temple in church. She's praying and she's praying like crazy. And Eli comes in, the priest, and he sees her talking to herself and he thinks she's drunk. And he yells at her and says, what are you doing in here? And she says, I'm not drunk. I'm crying out to God. I want a child. And he said, oh, I'll pray for you. And she ends up having a child at a very old age. And that child, who knows the child's name?
Samuel.
The great first and greatest prophet of Israel. And but what did she do? She had that baby. I can't even imagine it. The things that the mothers went through when they were back in the day. We don't even have anything like they're compared to. And she took her baby and she fed him. And after he was weaned, she brought him to the church, to the temple, and said, "Here, I'm giving him to God." Wow. What that took to do that. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. A man of God that changed Israel. Amen. And I think of Ruth. I think of Naomi. You know, lost all her kids. And then Ruth comes along. And Ruth says, "Where you go, I'll go. And your God will be my God. And where you die, I'll die." What a wonderful woman. And she didn't have any children. God chose her to be Boaz's wife. And she had a child. And that was the father of Jesse. And then we have Jesse's wife, David's wife. They don't even tell you his name, her name. And she had 8 children, and God chose the youngest boy named David. And David ruled Israel. And out of David's line, of his lineage, we have that fulfillment, because you were talking about Mary, but first became Mary was Elizabeth, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, the priest and his wife, and Mary, Elizabeth, very old, in her 70s, late 70s or 80s, and finally an angel comes to Zechariah and says to him that you're going to have a baby. And he laughs, and the angel shuts him up, and his wife has a baby, and they call him John. He becomes John the Baptist. Amen. The very first Christian preacher. The very first New Testament preacher. I heard people say, he's under the Old Testament. Yeah, he was a Jew, but he was preaching Christ. He was preaching Christ, the first one to preach Christ Jesus. And then we have our beloved Mother Mary. Young lady, angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "You're going to have a child." And she said, "That sounds great, but how? I've never known a man. I've never known a man. How can I have a child?" He said, "The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And he's going to put a seed inside of you. The seed of the woman, which God spoke of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He said, and out of her seed." And I just want to tell you that God knows what women go through. God knows the sorrow they feel. God knows every single thing that they feel, and thank God for it. And I want you to look in Luke chapter 2 with me. Luke chapter 2. Say amen when you get there. Luke chapter 2, verse 35, and you see it up on the screen. Starting in verse 34, it says, "And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against." And he says these words, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." Why? That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God put his Son inside of the womb of Mary. What a responsibility. A crazy responsibility. And she knew who he was, and she raised him, and she loved him. Man, how good of a baby he must have been. Probably didn't cry at all. I'm sure he cried a little bit when he got hungry, because every man does that. But a great child. Just think. I want you to think about this. Think of the love that Mary had for her son. Think of the love that Mary had for Jesus, knowing that not only was it her son, but God's son. Not only was it her son and God's son, but was it the Savior of Israel. Not only was it the Savior of her family and her nation and her people, but she knew he was just going to be the Savior of the whole world. He was the Messiah, the Christ. He was the one prophesied from Genesis chapter 3, when God said to Eve, the very first thing out of your seed is going to come a man, and he's going to crush that old Satan's head. The one that's been after every single woman, man, and child since the day of beginning. Women, I just want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that you came out of the rib of a man. You know what a rib is? It protects his heart. A rib protects the heart of man. Without ribs, our hearts would be exposed. And I thank God for every woman in here, and I thank God for every mother in here. And I thank God for you all, because I have a deeper experience for women now after seeing what God tells me is that how you're always under attack. Because each man, don't listen. Women, don't listen to this, okay? Because I'm talking to men, so I know you can't hear me. But all us men call you crazy all the time. See, every guy in the man club knows every woman's crazy. It just depends on the level and how many cats they have. So it all depends, you know, the level. Every guy knows that. We all say that, and everyone right now, he's like, I can't believe he's telling them. I won't give them the secret handshake. Don't worry. But it's not their fault. The devil attacks them and puts voices in their heads and says, you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You'll never get married. You'll never get a man. You'll never get a house. You'll never be taken care of. What are you going to do when you get older? How are you going to have money? How are you going to take care of this? What about your son? What about your daughter? How's my baby? What about when I'm pregnant? What about this? What about my husband? What about this? And that's going constantly through their head. And that's just a slither of the crazy that's going through each woman. And you times that as a mother and as a grandmother and as a wife. And I'm telling you right now, ladies, you need our prayers. Because I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ will protect your thoughts. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is your salvation, that he is your sanctification, that he is your righteousness, your power, your glory, your honor. He's your health. He's your strength. He's your husband. He's the one that you need to be close to, every woman in here. You need to be closer to Jesus Christ than I do. I'm serious, women. And what happens is the devil doesn't want you to get close to him. He doesn't want you to get close to God. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you reading your Bible. He doesn't want you coming to church. He doesn't want you, you know, loving and caring. Because I'll tell you right now, you know what everyone says this world needs? It needs more love. I think John Lennon wrote a song about it. All we need is love. But the truth of the matter is thank God for mothers. Because if it wasn't for a mother, I wouldn't know what love was. I never had anybody love me like my mom. She loved me. And I felt it and I knew it. How is your mom doing? You went down and just saw her, right? How's she doing? Amen. And the thing is, thank God, if I didn't have that love in my life, I don't think I'd be saved today. Because I wouldn't know the love of God and how much God loves me. I want to hurry up and finish this, but when it says that a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, I want you to think about that the thoughts. And it says, why? That the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. Mary's son was also God's son. Remember that. Prophesied by God to Eve. And boy, does the devil hate him. Devil hates Jesus. Hates him. And he hates you. And I want you to think about that. God's thoughts towards Jesus, his son. How did God feel towards his son? Just think about it. How did Mary feel towards her son? Think about it. Really think about it. And now Mary has to watch her son be punched in the face, spit on, whipped so bad that his flesh was hanging off his body and his bones were exposed. She had to watch her son go through that. She had to watch every bit of it. His mother. I never even let my mom know anything was going on in my life. Sons, do not call your mother and tell her everything's going on in your life. Just tell her everything's going fine. Daughters do that. Men don't do that. You don't call your mom at 3 a.m. She hears that phone ring. She's already worried. You don't do that and call her up and tell her you don't feel good. Or tell her you can't. Don't do that to your mother. You just call her and tell her everything's great, Mom. Know why? Because she's already worried. And the truth of the matter is, think how Mary felt about Jesus being crucified, beaten, tortured. Think about it. Can you please at least think about how she felt? That's why he said, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Why? It says, so that the thoughts of man will be revealed. Now, what does that mean? It means to me is God, we know how God thought about his son. We know how Mary thought about his son. The question to us today is, how do you feel about his son? How do you feel about the son of Mary? And that's when Jesus reveals the hearts of men and reveals the truth. I want you to turn with me real quick to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're right on time. We're right on time. How are you feeling over there? How's it a little more comfortable over there? If everyone would move over, I could preach a lot longer. Thank you for laughing. Somebody got it. John chapter 8, let me know when you're there. Verse 42. 8:42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You see, in the beginning, when we read in Genesis chapter 3, God said, your seed and her seed are going to be at odds with each other. Her seed and the devil's seed. Think about that. Jesus just said, you are of your father, the devil. Every person that has a problem with Jesus Christ, every person that cannot feel what God feels, what Mary feels, a mother about her own son being tortured and beaten and killed. Anyone who can't feel for that has no heart. Is not of God. Is of the devil. Seed of the devil. Because the devil doesn't care. The devil doesn't care. And he's a liar. And I want you to think about this real quick. Is that when he said, you are of your father, the devil, I would hate to be of the seed of Satan. I would hate to be the child of the devil. What does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. You don't care.
I hate that.
You don't care. You don't care that God had to watch his son suffer and die. You don't care. It doesn't move you. You don't really care. Yeah, I heard about it all my life. But where's the compassion? Where's the pain? Where's the suffering? What God did, it says, so that Mary's heart would feel what she felt watching her son. And God, because of your heart, it will be revealed who you are. Are you a seed of Satan? Are you a seed of God? Are you a child of the devil? Are you a child of God? It's very simple. It's caring and loving. I don't care who you were. If you watched a mother lose their child, and how many mothers have, and I feel every day the loss of our son, and I know how she feels every day, and how those children feel, I have a heart. How can you not have a heart? How can you not care about when mothers lose their children? And in war, of course they do. And it's terrible. And to cancers and all that. But Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, never did anything wrong. All he did was help people and love people and heal people. And do everything good, and to watch him be beaten to a pulp and spit on, and the thorns nailed to his head and mocked and laughed and nailed to a cross, writhing in pain when he was so good and kind. The first thing he said is, Father, forgive him. If you can't care about that, I'm telling you whose seed you belong to. You don't belong to God. That's why he says, through Mary's heart, a sword will pierce for the reason that the hearts and thoughts of men out there in the world will be revealed. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to 1 John chapter 2. Please, don't let the devil lie to you. Please don't listen to his lies that maybe someone's doubting that this is actually real. There's people out there that don't even believe Jesus was real. And that's just so stupid. It's so dumb that I can't even comment on it. But okay, you know he's real, it's history. But maybe they don't believe that he's the Son of God. Even if he wasn't, which he certainly is, he was a good, wonderful, amazing person. A lot of people believe that. But when you believe that he was the Son of God, and God, your God, watched his son be suffered, be beaten, be crucified, all for you. And that doesn't move you to some point. It shows you whose seed you belong to. And it's scary. I never want to belong to the devil's seed. I don't ever want to be a liar, because that's what he is. He's a liar. People lie to themselves all the time. Better stop lying to yourself. Better stop deceiving your own selves. You better start thinking real. How do you really feel about Jesus Christ? Because that's all God cares about. What have you done with my son? I gave him to you. What have you done with him? And that's all it's going to matter, from heaven to hell, from eternal punishment to eternal joy. Look with me, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth's not in him. He that says, I know God, and doesn't keep or try to keep God's commandments, is a liar." That means you're a seed of Satan. I never want to be a seed of Satan. I never want to be a seed of Satan. Never. And it says, I'm not going to sit there and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe. But you don't even try to keep his commandments. You're a liar. And God knows it. Turn with me, if you would, 1 John chapter 2. We are there. 22, I'm sorry. Same chapter, 22. I got my secretary over there always telling me where I'm at. Amen, sister. Verse 22 says, "Who's a liar? Who's a real liar? Who's a seed of Satan? He that denies that Jesus is the Christ." He's an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. See, there are real liars out there, real children of the devil, real seeds of Satan. They're liars because they're deceived. They swallow what the devil's putting out. And I'm here to tell you the greatest lie and what's going to send your soul to hell is not caring about Mary's son and God's son. We're going to have communion. And this is what communion's all about. We get to commune with the body and the blood of Mary's son, God's son. We get to think about, he said, "As often as you do this, you do show forth my death. You do this in remembrance of me, what I did for you." And that's what salvation's all about. It's that simple. Christ did it for you, and I'm receiving it. I believe it, I know it, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm receiving it. Jesus is my Savior because he is thus only Savior, the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, born of Mary, born of a virgin, prophesied thousands of years ago. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He cast out the devils. He, without a doubt, showed who he was. And then he became the Lamb of God, which takes away my sin and your sin. And I care about that, and I thank him for it. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be a liar. I love Jesus. I love him. You know why? Because he loved me. He showed me real love. He sacrificed for me. And he's still sacrificing for me. He does everything for me. And for me, not to care about him shows you who you belong to. Shows you what seed you really are. That's why the thoughts of every man's heart will be revealed. It says that he that says, "I know him, and keeps not his commandments, a liar." Who's a liar? He denies the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need a mother, and I'll tell you right now, we need a mother's heart right now. When it comes to Jesus, we need to care. We need to mourn for him. We need to love him. Isn't that the commandment of God? Isn't that our commandment? He that says, "I know him, and keeps not the commandments, is a liar." What's the commandment? Love. Who? The Lord your God. Amen. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment. The devil's a murderer. He hates people. He hates, he hates, he hates. And so many people in this room, in this world, hate way too much. And they think they're children of God. We're going to take communion. And I'm going to read a couple verses to you. And Anton and Brian are going to come up and they're going to distribute it to us. I don't know some of you, but I want you to read this with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and chapter 11. And this is what we do every time we have communion. But when I have communion, you know what I think of? I think of Jesus. I think of what he did on the cross, what he did on being beaten for me. I think of Jesus. I don't think of me. I don't think of religion. I don't think of church. I don't think of what I did or what I didn't do. I just think of Jesus. God, it's called the simplicity of the gospel. All you have to do is think of one thing and one person only. One person only, God's Son. Amen. What do you feel about him? What do you think about him? Are you real or are you a liar? And the truth of the matter is, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Sorry. It says that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Not discerning the Lord's body, not caring about the Lord's body, not caring about Mary's son and God's son given to you, beaten, whipped, tortured, eye taken out, beard ripped off, bones exposed, blood, pain, suffering, death. A mother watched that. God watched that. And he did it all for you. He did it for you personally. How do you feel about that? And that's going to decide who you really are. You can lie to yourself and say, I'm a Christian. Really? Really?